Okay, Parshas Akev. I talked already on Tuesday about an idea from this past time, so I always feel a little guilty. Well, guilty is the right word. I always feel a little bit, lost opportunity when I talk about a rav from Pshischa on my Tuesday shiur, because then I can't use it on my Thursday shiur. First of all, let's thank tonight's sponsor, Sarah Morris, in memory of Dr. Stephen Major. She's related somehow. Okay. Either way, thank you, Sarah, for the sponsorship. Mirz Hashem, his neshama should have an aliyah through our learning. So I mentioned on Tuesday that there's a famous Rashi on the beginning of this week's Parsha V'haya, Ekev Tishma'un. Ekev meaning if. In this context, if, sometimes it means because. But we know the word Ekev from a different episode, a couple of episodes, meaning heel, right? Yaakov Avinu was known as Yaakov because he was holding on to the heel of Esav. Later on in Parshas Toldos, Esav even says about Yaakov, Yaakveni zeh pa'amayim, he healed me twice, referring to the Bechor and now the Brachas. So heel, at least in some ways, means to trick. But that can't be what it's referring to here, because the pasuk says, "Ekev tishmuna hamishpatim ha'elish martem asitzim osam." We're talking about doing the mitzvos. Hashem's going to give you bracha, he's going to give you reward if you do the mitzvos. So what does the word ekev here mean? So Rashi famously tells us that ekev is a reference to those things that are very insignificant. Things that others trample on with their heels. They step all over them. A mitzvah kala, as Rashi would say. But here's an interesting trivia question. What is a mitzvah kala that we know of? Anyone know? Mitzvah kala, anyone? It's an easy mitzvah. The only reason I ask, no one wants to answer that question. That's the type of question. It's the type of question nobody wants to answer. Who's going to say that there's an easy mitzvah in the Torah? But the Rambam told us. There's a shiur way back when, during COVID times. We're still in COVID times. But during COVID, we talked about in the Mishnahs of Avos. I forgot which parak it is, but one of the Mishnayos says that you have to treat have a zahir b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. You have to be careful for an easy mitzvah or a lenient mitzvah, just like a stringent one. And we said, well, what does that mean? The Rambam actually lists mitzvos. What was the Rambam's definition or example of a mitzvah kala? Yeah. The mitzvah was speaking Hebrew. Remember that shiur? The importance of speaking Hebrew. There's a mitzvah to speak Hebrew, according to the Rambam. It's an easy mitzvah. Just go pick up a dictionary and speak Hebrew. Now, does that mean modern Israeli Hebrew? Probably not. The Rambam didn't know such a thing. I don't know if the Rambam had Ruach HaKodesh to know what Eliezer ben Yehuda would do to the Hebrew language. But at very least, it's referring to the Chumash, it's referring to the Siddur, things that we can learn in terms of, improving our Judaism or religious activities. So that's mitzvah kala. And Rashi says that if you keep the mitzvah kalas, so then Hashem's going to give you all this reward. So Sfas Emes is asking implicitly, what exactly does that mean? You're going to do the easy mitzvahs? And that's what's going to give you the reward. What about the hard ones? Presumably you get rewarded for the harder mitzvahs. So Sfas Emes says it's true. You get rewarded based on how difficult something is. However, there's something very special about easy, insignificant mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs that people trample on, the reason they're so significant is because you get no credit for them in the world. Right? In Olam Hazeh, you do an easy mitzvah, you say a bracha on something, no one's giving you a shkayach. You got an aliyah to the Torah. Right, you get hagba, you lane from the Torah, right? You do these things in public, so that's an important mitzvah. Three. What? Unless you're three, in which case it's not unclear if it's a mitzvah at all. But you get lots of praise. But you say a little mitzvah. You do negel vasser at home. No one's cheering you on. There is no audience for your negel vasser. Your kavana when you eat an apple and you say a bracha first is not being rewarded. There's no plaque on the side of the shul because you did some great mitzvah. So those are the little mitzvahs. But you know why those are the most important? Because those are the ones that express what you really want in life. If you only did the big mitzvahs, if you only went and you got the big aliyahs, and you gave the big donations, you got your name in the lights, your name on the side of a building, So then, who knows why you're doing the mitzvah? Maybe you're doing the mitzvah because it's a mitzvah. Maybe you're doing the mitzvah because of the popularity contest or the credit that's due to you. So, says the Sas Emes, it's true, the mitzvah kalas are easy mitzvahs. And in, at least in terms of the schar, you're not going to get the same level of schar for an easy mitzvah. But what you are going to get is the foundation of your own faith. The foundation of emunah is built by the small mitzvahs. Those little things are what's indicative of your real relationship with Hashem. Imagine if the only time you were ever nice to your spouse is when she did something really good for you. So then that wouldn't be much of a relationship at all. Right? It's the little things that are important. It's the little things that are the foundation of that relationship. So too says the Sas Emes, the Akev. What's the Akev? The Sas Emes continues to say, and this is all just a review of what I said on Tuesday, so I apologize. But what's the Akev? It's an all-male crowd here. Well, I see Savta is here. Shoshana is here, and Sarita is probably behind that kotel wall. So I guess there are a couple females here, but neither of them were at the shir. Oh, Marsha's here also. Marsha might have been here Tuesday. Either way, Shoshana probably listened.
Yeah.
You listened?
I listened.
Okay, so Shoshana does already know. So Chazara for Shoshana. Maybe also for Marsha, I don't remember. But the point is that the Akev is the heel. Now, I were to ask you, what's the most important body part? Most important part of your body? Probably say your brain. Right, your brain is what distinguishes you. It's what allows you to work, you know, the entire thing. Only works with your brain. However, if you don't have feet, you can't stand up. Right? So as important as your brain is, you need your heel to stand. If you don't have a heel, you'll fall over, you can't do anything. So says the Sas Emes, that's what it means. The heel is the foundation. That's the Akev. Those are the small mitzvahs that people trample on. Those are the most important mitzvahs. Those are the ones that are going to create that foundation. They might not give you the biggest schar because they're not the biggest mitzvos, but they're going to create that foundation of your emunah. So that's what I said on Tuesday from the Sfas Emes, just to get us started here. Another idea, story time. The Pasuk tells us, Hishamer lecha, pen tishkach es Hashem alokach, levil tishmur mitzvosav, mishvotav, v'chusav, asher anachim mitzav chayom. The Pasuk right before this is, V'yachalta v'savata, u'beirachta es Hashem alokach. I said on Tuesday also, you have to be very careful about that saying that pasuk or saying that phrase in benching, right? Sometimes v'yachalta v'savata u'beirachta es Hashem alokecha. Right? That's not one long sentence. It's not that you ate and were satisfied and benched Hashem. It's that you ate, you were satisfied, period, and then you benched Hashem, right? And then you thanked Hashem, right? You were not eating Hashem. Anyways, so v'yachalta v'savata u'beirachta Hashem alokecha. If you eat and you're satisfied, so you bench. But if you eat and you're satisfied and you feel so satisfied that you don't need anything else, you're full, right? And therefore, maybe you're going to forget Hashem. There's nothing that you need. Another Pshiskla Drasha from Rav Simcha Banim about the snake never needing Hashem because he always has dirt everywhere he goes. That was the punishment of the snake, and not for now. But the point is, when you're satiated, that's when you have to be careful lest you forget about Hashem. You can't forget about Hashem just because you have everything you need. Or what you think you need. Says story time, I guess. Yehudi HaKadosh, I'm trying to get a sefer from a compilation of the Yehudi HaKadosh's Dvar Torahs on the Chumash. If I ever get it, you'll see it. But right now, I can't find it anywhere. It's out of stock. I went to three different Sfarim stores in Crown Heights this past week. I could not find it. Nobody had it. So much for the Hasidim there. But they have different Hasidish Sfarim, obviously. Chabad is a little exclusive, but maybe hopefully other places I can find other types of Hasidus too. But until then, we'll have to quote the Yehudi HaKadosh. Who is the Yehudi HaKadosh? The Holy Jew. That's how you literally translate the Holy Jew. The Yid HaKadosh. He was the disciple of the Choza of Lublin. Happens to be that he had the same first two names as the Choza of Lublin. The Choza of Lublin's name was Rav Yaakov Yitzchak, I believe, Horowitz, and the Yehudi HaKadosh's name was Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Rabinovitz. Either way, he breaks off from the Choza, and he's the one that really starts Pshischa. We always credit Rav Simcha Banim of Pshischa. He was the first real Rebbe of Pshischa, but Yehudi HaKadosh was a Rav too. He just went by the name Yehudi HaKadosh. I don't know if he went by that, but that's what people call him. It has to do with his whole motivation in Pshis, not for now. HaYehudi HaKadosh Nichnas Eitzah HaRebbe MiLublin. Right, so this is the Rebbe that he ultimately is going to break away from and start Pshischa. But he goes into the Chozeh and he says, he sees him once, Umatsu Meitzar Umesaneach Mikiros Libo. The Chozeh is distraught. He's crying, he's sad, he's depressed. Shalo so the Yehudi HaKadosh asks him, Amam Sanechmar, why are you in such anguish? So Amar lo, Avarti al halav, I transgressed the prohibition. The pasuk tells us, Hisham lecha pentish kachas hashem lekacha. Be very careful not to forget Hashem. He says, Rega katan hisachti dati. For one moment, I got distracted and I forgot about Hashem. Velonasati libi lemetzios Hashem. I forgot about Hashem. I don't know if that's possible, but that's what he said. I forgot about Hashem. So then he says back, Amar lo HaYehudi HaKadosh, the Holy Jew says back to him, Mishnah Aruchahi. There's a Mishnah in Peah. Now what in the world are you going to do with a Mishnah in Peah? So first of all, very, very fascinating, very impressive that the Yehudi HaKadosh can quote from a Mishnah, which as when we'll read it, has nothing to do with this Pasuk, but has something to do with forgetfulness. What would forgetfulness have to do with the Masechta Peah? What? Okay, but why? What would be connected in terms of the concept of forgetfulness? Shichacha, exactly. There are three different halachas, or at least three. Leket, shichacha, and peah, different types of grain that you leave for a poor person in your field. One of them is called shichacha. If you forget it, you go back and you harvest all your wheat and you go inside and you forgot some of it outside, you have to leave it for the poor person. That's shichacha. Says the Mishnah in Peah Vav Vav, Ha'omer sheyesh bo sa'atayim, V'shachacho u'shachacho eina shechacha. Without going into the measurements, because I don't really know them, the Mishnah says, if you left such an enormous amount of your harvest outside, then that's not considered forgetfulness. Why? Because you just happened to go inside. You would never forget that much. Imagine, you know, you left $1 million in a safe outside in your front lawn. Like, okay, so maybe you went inside to get a drink of water or something, but you would never forget that briefcase, right? You would never not want that. So if something is so obvious, is so clear, is so, you know, obviously not something you forgot, then that's not considered shichcha. You can't let the poor person come and take that. You don't have to let the poor person come and take it. Says the Yehudi HaKadosh back to the Chozeh Olim, Ki davar tov ein shochim, something which is so good, you can't forget it. And if for one moment you forgot it, you're going to remember it right away. If you forgot and then you just remembered right afterwards, that's not considered forgetfulness. Gam Khan says, or Simcha Banim says, sorry, the Yehudi HaKadosh to the Chozeh of Lublin, Lo Avar Mar Al Halav, Ki Asid Hayy Rabbeinu Lizkor Miyad. After that moment, you forgot. You remembered right away. So there's no way we can consider that a real forgetfulness. You have not transgressed this pasuk. Interesting psak. But Amar lo HaRebbe MiLublin, Hech Yisani B'Dvarecha. You gave me life again with your words. A good drasha from a Mishnah and Peah. Why do I think this is important? We're coming up to the month of Elul, believe it or not. Ani l'do divido dili. I said at one point 2 years ago in a drasha, I only know that because I was looking back at my notes, but I remember saying it now that I looked back at my notes, that ani l'dodi doesn't mean I'll do something extra for Hashem. What it means instead is ani l'dodi, everything that I do, I am for my beloved, meaning my entire identity is for Hashem. No matter what I'm doing, I'm going to work, I'm doing it for Hashem. I'm eating, so I'm doing it for Hashem, to be energized. I'm bringing my kids to school, I'm giving them a good education so they can be learned Jews. That's all for Hashem. Everything that I do is for Hashem. And therefore, this idea is particularly relevant for the month of Elul. And there's also a halachic ramification in terms of a shita of Rabbeinu Tam. I think it's a famous shita of Rabbeinu, I think it's Rabbeinu Tam, who says that when it comes to Birchas HaTorah, the question is, whenever you learn, you're supposed to say a bracha on the Torah. But you have a lot of things that happen during the day that you're not particularly learning necessarily the whole day. Right, so you make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and then you go to work, and then you hopefully will learn something at nighttime, but you have to say Birchas HaTorah again, because you stopped. Right? If you would eat an apple in the morning, you'd say a Borei Pera Eitz, and then go to work, and come home, you can't continue eating that apple. You have to make another bracha. So you should make another bracha for Berachas HaTorah. Says Rabbeinu Tam, no, it's not true. Because even though by an apple that would be true, when it comes to Torah, we should be thinking about Torah all day. Whether a person does or doesn't, that's their problem. But we should be thinking about Torah all day. When we go to work, you think about how to treat your fellow man. You think about charity that you can give. You think about doing business with Amuna, with a proper midos. So that's all Torah. That's all Torah, and therefore you don't make any berachas Torah. So to here, don't forget about Hashem, and if you do for one moment, it's that important that it doesn't matter because you'll remember it right away. Hopefully you should remember it right away. That's at least how the Yehuda Kadosh responded back to the Chozo Blublin. One more idea for tonight from the Chidush Arim, student of Rav Sokol Banim. I gave a shiur a couple years ago on this week's parsha. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'emach. And I know what we learned from Ma Hashem Shoel Me'emach. Ma Hashem, Rashi says, Me'ya Hashem. What is Me'ya? 100. What are the 100 that Hashem asks for you? Brachos. Amin's is 90. 100 brachos. Me'ya Hashem Shoel Me'emach. Hashem asks from you to do 100 brachos a day. And we talked about the whole calculation. I think we talked about it. We did in Mishabru. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Maybe we did Amen. I think. I don't remember. I'll have to look back. I don't remember. Either way, it isn't. The Gemara in Brachos talks about it. But the Gemara says also from this pasuk, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'emach, in a literal sense, Ki Im Liras Hashem Elokecha. All Hashem wants from you is to be fearful of Him. Just listen to Hashem. Just fear Hashem. What does the Gemara learn from here? Hakol bidei Shemayim chutz mi Yiras Shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for Yiras Shemayim. Hashem wants us to be fearful of Him, and that's all. Everything else just falls under that. So says the Chiddush Arim v'kasha, im hakol bidei Shemayim chutz mi Yiras Shemayim. If everything is really in Hashem's hand except for Yiras Shemayim, so lama anu mispalim b'chol yom, we say before Shema, v'yached levavenu li'ahava u'lira eshemecha. That's a request. Hashem, please instill within our hearts the fear of heaven. What are we asking Hashem for? Hashem can't do that for us. Hashem is only the one. Hashem gives only all the other stuff. Yiras Shemayim is the one thing that Hashem can't give us. In which case, why are we asking Him for it? Says the Chiddush Arim, we understand this concept completely wrong. By the way, there's another phrase. You know the other phrase that starts Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Mi? There's another one. Another Gemara, different Gemara. Which is ironic because it sounds like it's exclusive. But Chutz Mi, something called Tzinim Pachim. You know what Tzinim Pachim are? Cold wind. Everything is in the hands of Hashem except for cold wind. What does it mean, cold wind? Rashi says on that Gemara, what it means is Hashem will bring the wind, but He's not going to give you a coat, right? You know, Hashem can do X, Y, and Z to make you a smart person, to make you a specific type of person, whatever. But if you go outside without a coat on, that's your own fault. Hashem's not going to give you a coat, right? So we always have to have a little bit of a shtadlus when it comes to those decisions. But here says the Chiddush Arim, this phrase doesn't mean that everything is in the hands of Hashem except for this. What it means is, Yesh lomer shekavanas ha-mamar hi, kol ha-bakashel she'adam shoel me Hashem, hein bidei shemayim. Everything that we ask Hashem for, right? Kol, what's the phrase again? Hakol bidei shemayim. Everything is in the hands of Hashem. What does it mean, everything? Everything we ask for is in the hands of Hashem. If we say, Hashem, I really want a new bicycle this birthday. So Hashem can decide. Is He going to give you a bicycle? Is He not going to? That's in Hashem's hands to decide. However, there's one thing that's not in Hashem's hands. That's Yiras Shemayim. If we ask Hashem, V'yachel levavenu li'aval Yiras Shemecha, we say, Hashem, I want to be fearful of You. Hashem has no choice. Hashem can't decide whether He's going to give us fear of heaven. He says, you got it. You asked for it, you got it. That's the one request Hashem can't refuse. It's not bidei shemayim. What a beautiful way to understand this drasha. What a beautiful way to understand this mamar chazal. Hakol bidei shemayim. Hashem can decide what He gives you when you ask for it. Chutz mi yiras shemayim. The one thing He can't decide is if you ask to be a better Jew, He's got to give it to you. If you're wanting to be better, So you're going to be better. Hashem's going to give you that bracha that you're going to be better. A fascinating, it's kind of self-referential because you wouldn't be asking unless you're actually going to become, but fine, we're not getting into theology here. But the point is, says Chidush Arim, that's how much our Yirat Shamayim matters to Hashem. Says Milu'an Taloi B'chaste Emakom, to fulfill requests, that's depending on what Hashem wants. Im Tzvilasa Tiskaba Chutz Mi Yirat Shamayim Im Adam Ispal Hashem Mi Omek Halev. If someone really, truly wants more Yirat Shamayim, and it's from the depth of his heart, Tamid Tzvilasa Miskabel, that will always be granted. Muftach Hushe Sayolo, Hashem is always going to give you that sense of fear of heaven. You don't have to worry about that. Another good topic to talk about going into Elul, to do real tshuva, to really repent. So then Hashem's going to give it to us automatically. Hashem's going to respond in kind and say, yes, you've repented properly, and I will reward you with a newfound commitment to me. It's kind of cyclical, but says the Chiddush Arim, that's what that phrase means, and that's something we can take with us towards Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If we ask to be closer to Hashem, then we will be, just by dint of the fact that we authentically and sincerely ask for it. Okay, thank you again, Sarah Morris, sponsor of the shiur, and the Meretz Hashem, have a good Shabbos. We'll continue on next week with more Peshitzchah on the Parsha. Okay.
Thank you.
Shkayach, have a good Shabbos.